Welcome to the Post-Narc Life Podcast. It's time to leave behind the narcissist narrative and build an amazing life that you love. You got through, but you're not done. We're going to build your next level of wealth, create healthy relationships, find deep self-connection to expand your unique impact on this world, and leave behind a legacy of love. I'm your host, Laura, by the way. I've been there. I get it. And I've got you. Let's go build your post-narc life. Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of the Post-Narc Life Podcast. We are in the middle of the multi-episode series class called Surrender to Success. How was your Thanksgiving? How is your fall of 2023 going? I hope it's going really well. I am really excited to share this episode with you today. It's called Surrender to the Timeline. This is part 5 of Surrender to Success. Last week, we talked about surrendering to reality. And today we're going to talk about surrendering to the timeline. It was going to be one episode, but I decided to give timeline its own episode because it's so important. And sometimes we can get really impatient with the timeline. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But first, we have a lot of content and material to get through, but I want you to pause right now and to think about, okay, I am building an amazing life. I am working towards my next goal. I'm creating impossible goals. I happen to be having an impossible person in my life, but that's not going to stop me. Think about that goal that you have. And I want you to think about, what are you going to do about that goal today? What action are you going to start taking right now, today? I myself am a serial consumer. I consume all kinds of coaching and self-help books and podcasts all the time. I love consuming material. And so sometimes this can get in my way of actually creating what it is that I want because I'm so focused on, well, I just got to finish this book. Okay, I just got to finish this class. But I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole. I don't want you to fall into that kind of temptation because I want you to reach your goals. And your goals aren't at the other end of this series that I'm doing. That's not where your goals are. Your goals are at the other end of you believing and taking action when in that belief. And that could be right this second. You can decide if you had to stop this podcast and never listen to any more of it going forward, what would you be doing? What would be the next right thing that you can do right now? What's the next right step? And I want you to go take that action today. Maybe you pause the podcast and go do that right now. That would be amazing. You can take the action anytime you want, but I don't want your brain to be like, well, I'll for sure take that action, but I'm going to wait until this and this and this is over. I'm going to wait until I finish this. No, don't do that. Don't fall for that. You want to be taking action every single day. You want to be taking imperfect action every single day. B minus work. You want to get yourself out there. You want to be putting yourself in the proverbial harm's way. You want to be in the ring, getting beat up by the world. Because that's how we achieve what it is that we're going after. We achieve it through actually taking action and doing the steps we need to do and failing and making wrong steps and figuring out why it's wrong and then taking new action in order to get you closer, get that needle moved forward. So I wanted to mention that. So don't wait until this content is over before you start moving towards your goals. Go ahead and start taking that action now. And if there's stuff in the way, that's why I do what I do. So come work with me if you've got a lot of big emotion, a lot of habits in there, a lot of issues that make it impossible for you to take forward action. That's why coaches exist. This is why I exist. I work with my coaches to help me take action when I get stuck. And so it's all about, all right, what is it that I need to do? What's in my way? Can I get out of my own way? Or do I need support? And that's what I offer. I offer support, one-on-one support to get you through the big challenges of your life to get you through the big emotions that are going to come with dealing with the narcissist type people in your life so that you can take the action you need to take to get what it is that you want. This is why I do what I do, because it's not easy dealing with a narcissist, right? If you're listening to this, it's because you know what that's like. You get it. You understand the crazy making life that you have to be in when you are dealing with a narcissist. It makes you feel like you're going nuts. It makes you feel like you don't even know who you are anymore. And you're always in fight or flight, and it's hard to get out of that, especially when you've been in it for so long, for so many years, your brain starts to be in that habit. So working with people like me can help you get out of that habit and into new habits that actually create the life that you want. And listen, anything that you want is available to you. I know we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Anything that you truly want that's aligned with who you want to be in this world is available to you. If you desire it, that desire is a clue that that thing you desire is available to you. Because you could desire anything in this world. You could desire to be anything or be anyone or have anything. But you have specific desires that belong only to you that other people don't desire. So look and pay attention to your desires. We'll talk about that more in an upcoming episode, but pay attention to what it is that you want. Reconnect with what it is that you want over and over again, because that is the path to getting what it is that you want. Okay, but today we're going to talk about surrendering to the timeline. This is about understanding that there are some things that are in your control and some things that aren't in your control. And like we talked about last time, being in the narcissist dynamic makes you believe in the illusion that control equals power and that you need to be controlling things in order to feel safe, in order to feel secure, loved, whatever it is you're trying to feel, whatever emotional need you're trying to meet. But really, surrendering to the timeline is a freeing approach to your goals. It frees you up. So one of the things that I myself have experienced and many of my clients have experienced is a sense of overambition or a sense of over desire, a sense of really wanting the big, big, grandiose things. And there's nothing wrong with ambition or desiring big things. Absolutely nothing. But when you are in a rush to create the big things, when you are like, I gotta have it and I gotta have it now, that is a clue of narcissist abuse survival. So if you're in a rush to get your goal, that's actually an indication of narcissist survival. It's one of the symptoms of having had to survive a narcissist, not all the time, but if you know that you've had a survival narcissist situation, you've been raised by narcissists or you've been in a relationship with a toxic person, then there's a really good chance that your urgency, the rush to get to where you want to be and to have your goal and meet your goal is about you solving your emotions. Because in the narcissist dynamic, the idea that what's outside of you is what creates your emotions, not what's inside of you. You have to wait for your outside circumstances to change in order for you to feel better. So like when you were in the narcissist relationship or the toxic relationship, it was like, okay, I'm not in control of anything, but if I can people please, if I can make the person in front of me change, make them happy, make them stop being mad, make them stop abusing me, then I'm going to be safe. And all I have to do is do the dance, just play the game, say the thing, do the thing, erase myself in whatever way I got to do it in order to control what's outside of me so that I can control what's inside of me. That's the narcissist dynamic. I know we've talked about this over and over again, and I will say it till I'm blue in the face. It's so important to see this dynamic. So when you go out to reach your goal, it's going to be uncomfortable. Going after your goals feels terrible, y'all. Let me tell you, I've been at this in terms of like business for several years now. And I'm telling you, it doesn't feel good all the time. It feels like it feels terrible. And it's not that it feels terrible because it is terrible. It feels terrible because there's so much vulnerability. There's a lot of failure you have to experience. There's a lot of unknowns and uncertainty. And you also are bringing your brain along with you and you are flipping the script on how your brain is functioning. Because going to get your goal, creating what does not exist yet, is a complete 180 to how we typically do things. We typically wait for the thing to appear before we can feel better. And for a lot of us, that happens. If we have a 9-to-5 job, generally speaking, that money's going to come in the form of a paycheck. It's regular, it's predictable, and you don't have to worry about quote unquote creating it. It's coming to you and it's not a problem because you go to work and you trust that it comes. When you go out to create a financial goal that isn't in line with working for another company, like you are your own entrepreneur, you are creating your own offers and you go out and sell those offers, that is a totally different ballgame. And you have to change your brain. You have to be like, okay, I'm not going to wait for the goal to show up in order for me to feel better. I've got to say, okay, I'm going to feel better first, at least some of the time. You don't have to feel better perfectly all of the time, but you want to redirect your brain. You want to have the presence of mind to say, ooh, I'm feeling terrible right now. I'm feeling scarce. I'm feeling uncertain. I'm feeling scared. And instead of waiting for the goal to show up before I can start feeling better and feeling safe and certain and in control and cared for and all the things, I'm going to intentionally create those emotions ahead of time before the goal shows up. And that's like the magic sauce right there, because that's actually how you create your goal. You have to believe in it. You have to feel what it feels like ahead of time. And what that does is it opens up your brain and allows for that creativity to create the things that you want to create. It gives you the inspiration. It opens you up to all of the possibilities, and it makes it so that your goal comes easier and faster. Now, can you force your goal to happen with scarcity and all the things? Absolutely, you can. But you'll find that once you reach the goal, it doesn't solve your emotions like it did before. And then you're going to be caught in a continuous loop of, well, it must mean that I have to have a bigger goal. It must mean I have to try again. It must mean I have to do it more. And then you're just caught up in this cycle. And then it's never fulfilling. It's never enough. It never solves it for you. Because it's true. Your goals can never solve your emotions. We think that they can. That's why it's so easy to sell, right? If you buy this thing, you're going to feel this way. When in reality, things don't create your emotions. You create your emotions all of the time. Now, sometimes we don't do that consciously and we don't do that intentionally. So it feels like it's just happening to us, but it's still us. It's definitely still us. Another thing that is an interesting trauma response that can show up sometimes is underestimating how long things are going to take and overestimating your ability to do things in a short time. Ask me how I know. If you could see me, you would see that I am raising my hand, because I have lived this multiple times trying to learn this lesson, and not even knowing that I was trying to learn this lesson, but like this lesson was being taught to me through my experiences over and over again. But it's really fascinating. Like, trauma response in the brain can sometimes show up like this, where you aren't thinking about how long things actually take to create, to be created, because you're in a rush to get it done now to solve your feelings. And you don't really have practice exercising that muscle of, this is how long it's going to take. I'm willing for it to take 5 months, 7 months, 10 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I'm willing for it to take as long as it needs to take in order to create the thing that I am creating. But when you're in trauma response or you're used to being in a narcissist relationship, your muscle to be able to do that isn't very well exercised. And so you think like, oh yeah, I can easily create this in like 3 months, or I'm going to go create this in 3 months or 2 months or 2 weeks or in one day. Now listen, is it possible to create your goals that quickly? Of course it is. But remember, when you are in a rush and you feel that urgency and you want to create it so fast because it's going to solve your emotions, you're going to find that that is the extra hard way to do it. It's still possible, but I don't recommend it. And the chances for failure and sabotage are a lot higher if you go that route. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, we don't have an accurate idea of time for those of us who have trauma response, or maybe even ADHD, those symptoms can absolutely overlap. So the future is kind of difficult to conceptualize. And because of that, we kind of innately feel like we don't have enough time. Isn't that fascinating? At least that's what I experience speaking for myself. I feel like I can only see just a few steps ahead of me. It's really hard for me to conceptualize the future naturally. I have to be really intentional about it and remind myself and redirect myself over and over to, no, this might take a year. This might take 2 years. What is my life going to look like in 2 years? That's actually difficult for me to conceptualize, but I intentionally work on it so that I can grow that muscle, that part of my brain, those neural connections, so that I can get better at being like, look, it might take a year. It might take two. I'm not sure. And that's not a problem. And so when you just noticing these little nuances of, am I in a rush? Am I trying to use my goals to solve my problems? Am I underestimating how long things are going to take so that I can feel like this goal is going to come faster to make me feel better? Am I willing for it to take as long as it takes? If, you know, why or why not am I willing for that? So I want to introduce the concept, if you haven't heard it already, of slowing down to speed up. This is one of the toughest lessons I've had to learn. And my brain fights it, y'all. I'm with you. Slow down to speed up. This is where we take that part of our brains that's like, listen, I got to have my results and I got to have them now. And we say, I am going to do it slower. I'm going to do it more intentionally. I'm going to get small results first. Like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with ambition. If you're ambitious, amen. Welcome to the club. You're amazing. Having ambition is awesome. But if you are ambitious and you have the skill to be able to say, I am just as thrilled and just as excited about this small result as I am and as I will be about the big result that I'm creating, that skill is going to serve you so much. It's going to make the steps towards your goal so much easier, so much better, and so much faster. So be willing to have small results, maybe for a longer time than you expect. And who knows? I don't know what's going to happen for you. You may have quick results. Let's leave room for the magic. There's always magic that could happen. There's always a possibility of, whoops, suddenly you've got quick results. I've seen people, I had a client who went from zero to 100K in less than a year. But it's not because of what I did, or, I mean, I definitely helped her. I helped guide her in the right direction. I helped get all of her narcissist drama out of the way, but she was ready. She was primed. She had been working on it for many years and not seeing results. And it was just the right time. So allow for the timing to be right. We talk about surrendering to the timeline, whatever that looks like, and just trust that every step you take towards your goal is getting you closer. And even though we don't know what the timeline will be, we can trust that eventually it will happen. One of my coaches talks about how you're on the conveyor belt. Like, you're just on it. And that means you are being guided towards your goal little bit by little bit. And there's nothing that's going to derail you from the conveyor belt unless you decide to jump off of it. What's really interesting is that our brain loves to offer, I need to quit. It's time to quit. Time to be done. This goal is not worth it. We are miserable. This is terrible. I don't want to do this. It's time to quit. Y'all, my brain offers quitting my business. This business right here, working with people dealing with narcissists, helping people who have dealt with an impossible person to reach impossible goals. This business, like my coaching, my private clients, my membership clients, all of the work I'm putting out there, my brain regularly offers me, yeah, it's time to quit. Yep, we're done. It's just time to be done. And I'm like, what? But it's just my brain's way of trying to solve my big emotions. And I have a lot of big emotions a lot of the time. So when it comes to accepting your circumstances radically, like surrendering to your reality, surrendering to the timeline, that goes against every instinct that we have in our brains. And so it's going to be really uncomfortable when we go to do that. And as I do that work, I feel so much discomfort a lot of the time. And I've been told over and over again, this is not a problem. And not that it's not a problem, but actually it's even an indication that things are going right. Your transformation is inherently uncomfortable, generally speaking. You transforming into a new version of yourself requires you letting go of old things, shedding old skin, shedding old thought patterns and beliefs. And that is really uncomfortable for the brain because for a minute you're holding two realities at once. That's cognitive dissonance, which is that's not something the brain likes. It's really uncomfortable. And plus you're grieving old stuff. You're allowing stuff to come forward that you haven't allowed yourself to feel. Remember how we talk about in my world with narcissism, you are separate from the narcissist. You never have to worry about being the narcissist. If you are a person who looks at your emotion, if you're willing to face your big emotions, that is what separates you from a true narcissist. Right? So looking at your emotions and looking and feeling and being willing to be present with your emotions, good or bad, is gonna be uncomfortable. Like a butterfly, when it is in transition, it's in the goo phase. It literally deconstructs itself and then rebuilds itself, rebuilds its wings and its body to create its final transformative state, which is a butterfly. And that gooey phase, that is uncomfortable when you're just a bunch of goo. I can't imagine. But mentally, emotionally, spiritually, this work can sometimes feel like we're a pile of goo. But eventually, it comes together if you stay the course, if you're willing to feel your emotions, if you're willing to let it not be a problem, if you don't quit, you will ultimately rewire those parts of your brain and you will transform and you'll become the next version of yourself. And this process is going to happen multiple times, especially as you set more and more goals over time. Because if you're anything like me, you want to just keep continuing to progress as far as you possibly can. Again, not in a rush. We're not going to rush this, but for fun. I mean, I want to achieve as closely as I can my full potential on this earth. That's a desire I have of mine. But that doesn't mean that I make it mean right now that I'm not reaching my full potential right now. Of course, I am reaching my full potential right now. How do I know? Because this is the most I've ever been. This is the highest evolved I've ever been. This is the most willing to look at my emotions I've ever been. So at all times, I am increasing my capacity for potential, and I'm continuing to reach that capacity for potential at every level. And I want to see how far it goes. And that's just me. And that's okay. If you are fully satisfied at a certain level and you just want to stay there, that's perfect too. This is your life. You get to live it. So we're going to slow down to speed up. What's that going to look like for you? What's that going to mean? For me, it has meant that I have had to let go of some things that I have held very tightly to for a long time. That's not fun. That's a dark night of the soul when that happens. But on the other side of it is truly so much peace and so much openness and possibility. I recently went through this with my business. I realized over the last year, like a full year, I realized I've kind of been fighting with myself. I didn't know that I was fighting with myself because our brains are really clever. They like to hide certain things from us because they're trying to get their needs met, right? And I was fighting with myself. I realized, wait a second, I don't have childcare right now. I have a 3-year-old. Well, she's about to turn 3. So for the last year, I've had a 2-year-old at home full time. Around this time last year, my full time nanny left for another job and I never replaced her. And I didn't want to replace her. You know, it was an expense I didn't really want to use in my business at the time. I was strategically using my money in different ways. But what I didn't do was restructure my business to accommodate the fact that I no longer have childcare. I just thought to myself, oh, coaches don't do this. Coaches are professional. Coaches continue to run their businesses the way they've run it. And this is not a problem because I do use that for myself. And it isn't a problem necessarily. Some people can make it work, but it wasn't right for me to make it work. I was continually fighting with myself, telling myself that I wanted something that I actually didn't want. And this is something that comes up with my clients that are still married to their narcissist. They are internally fighting with themselves. They can't make a decision. It's really, really difficult for them. It's sort of a darned if you do, darned if you don't situation. And they just kind of hope and pray that somehow things change and they get better. And listen, this is not me saying you should divorce your husband right away. Like, it's always up to you. There's no wrong answer. There's just what we choose and what we learn. But I notice that when I work with my clients who are still married to their narc, there's a lot of that self-fighting. There's a lot of that, well, it's so miserable to be with him, but I'm not going to do anything to change my circumstances because that would be too hard. People are going to judge me. I won't be able to support myself. It's going to be way too much of a challenge. And it is a challenge. I'm not going to say it's not a challenge to go ahead and learn how to support yourself when you haven't been supporting yourself this whole time. For my women who have been stay-at-home moms, for example, for sure, there's going to be a huge learning curve if you decide to leave your marriage, and that's not going to be easy, and it's going to be very uncomfortable, right? But if your brain is not willing to do that, but then also your brain can't stand being in a relationship with a narcissist, you're fighting with yourself. Like, there's really it's a no-win situation. It's just a cycle of pain. And so when you are in that cycle of pain, you want to just get really, really curious. There's no judgment. There's no wrong answer. But what is it that you're holding on so tightly to? And why? Just out of pure curiosity. And for me, I was invited to do that by a coach friend of mine, actually. And I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to look at it at all. She was just like, do you even want your business as it is right now? And the answer was, no, I didn't. It was too hard trying to pretend like I didn't have a 3-year-old at home. It was too hard trying to like make it work with nap times and being interrupted. Like, this recording this podcast, I've been interrupted multiple times. I'm now recording it late at night, so everyone's asleep, but I tried to record it multiple times during the day to try to fit it in, and it just wasn't working. And so I tabled it for a couple of weeks. Well, you know, to get through the holidays and things like that. And so now that I'm back to it and I've kind of restructured some things, I realized, oh, I was fighting against my circumstances. I was not surrendering to my reality. I was saying, nope, I'm just gonna not look at this and keep going business as usual and pray that it all works out. But it wasn't serving me. My income dropped. I was not creating content like I wanted to. I was not consistent with my content. I was showing up for calls every single time. That was not a problem. But I wasn't feeling great about it. It was really, really stressful for me. So I'm in the process now of restructuring my business to accommodate the choices that I am making. Also, I felt like I was a victim to my circumstances. I was like, well, I don't have childcare. You know, I don't know why I thought I was a victim to it, because I could easily go out and get childcare, but I just didn't want to use my money in that way. I was using it for other things. And so I just felt like a victim to my own choices. It's so weird. Our brains do that sometimes. And my brain loves to blame other people. Oh, my brain loves it. Love, love, loves it. And so that was, you know, easy for my brain to do. Easy for me to have those kinds of thoughts, to be like, it's not my fault. I don't have childcare. I wish I did. If I did, things would be different. And if I could just have 4 hours of uninterrupted time, I could actually do something with my business. I could actually, you know, go where I want to go with my business. And really, I just wasn't looking at my reality and surrendering to my reality. And when I surrendered to my reality and I really looked at it for the first time and realized, oh, wait, I'm making this choice. Hold on. Oh, wait, I thought things would be the exact same when I had childcare versus not having childcare at all. You can run a business without childcare. You just have to be strategic and you just have to, like, you know, change the way that you approach your business in a way that works. You know, if you want to accommodate frequent interruptions, there's a way to do that. So I use a lot of Voxer coaching. Voxer has been the best app. I love it so much. There's just so much magic in the ability to coach asynchronously like that. I'm also not doing any more video calls anymore. I used to do video calls, you know, regularly. Like, we had a set video call every week at the same time with the person, with the client. But now I just do phone calls and it's not as regimented. We just kind of work out, okay, which kind of day and time works for you? Because I have to be flexible. Sometimes my kids need me to pick them up after school. I had multiple sick kid days throughout the last month where I was called in the middle of the day to go get my kid, or when I had to stay home because he had a fever. And then my daughter, she's not napping anymore. I used to be able to rely on her napping in the afternoons to be able to do calls and get things done in my business, but that's not real anymore. She's three. She's giving up her naps. And yes, I could easily do and figure some things out. And I'm sure that I will figure out a childcare situation over the next 6 months to a year. But for some reason this year, I was just really stubborn about I'm not doing childcare. I'm just not going to do any version of that. I did have a couple of times where I would exchange with other moms, and that was kind of working out, but it wasn't really a long-term solution. And I guess it's not that there's just some reason. I know the reason. The reason is I don't know if this girl, my daughter, is going to be my last child or not. I hope she's not my last child. But even if she isn't my last child, it's really important to me to be at home with her and to be the primary caretaker of her. And this is not a slight against anyone who chooses full-time childcare. This is not a judgment call. You do what you got to do. I support you, whatever your life looks like. But for me, and this is actually really challenging for me because being a stay-at-home mom is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I know a lot of moms will agree with me on that. But the idea of someone else changing my daughter's diaper, someone else putting her down for a nap, someone else singing to her, someone else reading to her, someone else feeding her, it just felt so wrong in my body. You know, I it's kind of hard to explain, but I think my moms out there will understand. And being able to be that for her and show up as her mom is just something that's just an innate desire that I have in me, and I want to live that out. And so I decided I'm going to own that now. For a year, I kind of fought with myself over that. But now I've decided I'm going to own it for my reasons. And I'm not going to say to anybody else, that's what you should do. That's not my place. But for me, I'm owning this choice. And I'm saying, this is what I want. These are my reasons. And I like my reasons. They belong to me and nobody else. And so I'm going to accommodate all of my other choices around this choice. And I'm not going to fight with myself anymore about it. And boy, that has freed me. I feel like a new woman. It's amazing. So surrendering to your circumstances, surrendering to the timeline, is about freeing yourself. So what would that look like for you? How can you trust in your long-term vision and in your ability to trust yourself, your intuition? Stop fighting with yourself. Stop fighting with what's outside of you that you can't control. And really own what's happening inside of you. What would that look like? What would that be like for you? I want you to really explore that. The last thing I want to talk about is accepting where you are does not mean that you stay. This is one of the hardest lessons to learn too, because we are so used to having all of that activation energy to try to get us out of a situation that's really painful, that we think that if we don't have the urgency, if we don't struggle to get out of it and try to control our circumstances, if we stop fighting, if we surrender, it's going to mean that nothing's going to change. It's going to mean that we're just going to stay put and we're not going to get what we want. And the opposite is true. We think that way because that's how it was in the toxic relationship, right? If you didn't do anything, you just kept getting abused. If you didn't fight for yourself, if you didn't fight to leave that relationship, you were just always going to get abused. And I don't disagree with you. That's what it's like in a toxic relationship. But you're not in a toxic relationship anymore. Not with yourself, not with your goals. Okay? Those are not toxic relationships. Now, if you have a toxic relationship with yourself, we need to work together. You and I need to have a conversation. Let's deal with that so that you can actually start getting what it is that you want. But accepting where you are now, allowing for yourself to manage your emotions and not your outside circumstances, does not mean this is where you stay. In fact, it frees you up to be able to create the circumstances that you want. you want to, this looks like leading with peace. This looks like trust. Trust is not easy for the narcissist trained brain. And I've talked about trust a little bit in this episode, and this is so antithetical to the narc trained brain. So it's going to be very challenging to trust yourself. You've been gaslighted and abused into thinking that you can't trust yourself. And so you going after your goal and trusting in the timeline, trusting in your ability to get the job done, to do the thing, trusting in your desires, trusting in what comes up when you really look at your emotions, at what it is that you want, at why you're fighting against yourself, trusting that what really comes up is going to set you free. That is not easy to do. But if you do it, it really will set you free. So I want you to start trusting yourself. And if that's hard to do, I want you to start trusting your source. Start trusting God, Heavenly Father, the universe, whatever that looks like for you. The universe has your back. God has your back. This is another very difficult lesson for my people, because if God had your back the whole time, why didn't he just take you away from the abusive relationship? Why didn't he just change that person or save you or prevent you from getting into a relationship with that toxic person, right? So it's really hard to trust your higher power when you have had to experience a lot of trial and hardship. And so what I want to say to that is God is not, like, his job is not to save you from discomfort all the time. That is not his purpose. His job isn't to make everything terrible go away, at least not in this moment in time. Even so, for my Christians listening, God didn't even save his own son from a terrible fate, right? From a terrible, gruesome, horrible death. He didn't save all the children that have died terrible deaths and in terrible ways at the hands of abusive people. Like, that's not how God operates. Sometimes we wish it were, because wouldn't that be amazing if God could save all the righteous people all the time? But unfortunately, that's not what God is about. God is in a completely different business. And for so many of us, that's kind of hard to wrap our minds around, because it's like, wait, if he's God and he's benevolent, why does he allow terrible things to happen? Well, the reason why is because God doesn't control people. He doesn't force people to change. He doesn't stop people from taking action and exercising their agency. That's not what he does. For his purposes, that is not part of his plan. And it's very, very significant, because if God is about controlling other people and taking away the agency of his children, then what are we doing here? What are we learning? What is the purpose of being here? Why? What does it accomplish to be sent down here and experience life? I don't know. These are just my thoughts. I'm not a theologian. I'm not an expert on this topic, but I do know that agency is one of the most fundamental gifts that we have. We have the ability to choose. We have nothing and no one controlling us. No one can jump inside our brains and force us to feel a feeling or think a thought. No one can do that. Narcissists, okay, want you to believe the opposite. They want you to be controlled. And God is not a narcissist, okay? He doesn't need you to change in order for himself to feel better. He doesn't need you to be a certain way in order for him to control his emotions. God manages his emotions perfectly. And he doesn't need anything outside of him to feel better. Now, does that mean he never has negative emotions? No. In the scriptures, we hear of instances where God had emotions. There's emotions like anger and sadness and grief and loss and happiness too. God has emotions, but he doesn't force people to change in order for his emotions to change, right? He is the arbiter of his emotions. He manages himself. And how are we going to learn how to manage ourselves if we are forced to do things? If it's allowed that things can be inside of our brains and we have no agency and no free will. We're no different than the animals, you know, in the fields. We're no different than the animals in nature. So for whatever reason, and this is what I believe, you can believe what you want, we are called to be on earth at this time. And that means having free agency, which also means being subject to the free agency of others. We cannot control other people, which means at least some of the time we're going to experience terrible things. That's not a fun realization. And it's not a problem. I know I say that a lot, but it's not a problem that we're going to have to suffer through difficult things, because the trials and the difficulties in our life serve us. They change us. They mold us. They refine us. God is not in the business of saving us from trials. He's in the business of transforming us and taking and alchemizing our trials into something that serves us for our ultimate higher good and serves other people. This is why I'm so glad I wasn't saved from the terrible things I've had to go through. I've had to go through some terrible things. I'm not here to like compare trials with people, but for me, they were really terrible. My own mother's suicide, the loss of multiple children or babies, I guess, you know, they weren't fully developed yet. Multiple divorces. My mom and dad, bless their hearts, between the two of them, they have 9 failed marriages. 9. I had to go through divorce multiple times as a child. You know, and then being raised by a narcissist has its own terrible things that go along with it. But I wasn't saved from that. And I didn't deserve any of that. Of course I didn't. And my parents, of course, had it even worse than I did. My mom was raised by an alcoholic. She had a violent upbringing. I never saw violence, but my mom saw violence growing up as a child. My dad told me the other day, he was never hugged as a child. He was hugged, I think, for the very first time by his grandmother when he was like 8 or 9 years old, and never hugged again after that as a child. Can you imagine? Like, that literally, there are certain brain connections that are made when you are touched and loved and hugged by your parent that he didn't get. And it's like, no wonder he kind of does what he does. You know, it's fascinating. Of course, he was beaten and there was a lot of stuff going on as a child, and he, you know, was treated really poorly and stuff that they suffered that I've never had to suffer. Right. And then I'm sure there was more. There's so much struggle and hardship and trial and loss and awful things that have happened in my family tree, probably going back generations, things I don't even know about. Right. And none of us were saved from that. None of us were spared from it. Is that because God is vengeful and terrible and hates us? No, it's because God refuses to control the actions of other people. He will inspire. He will work to persuade. He will give you options. He will show you what it feels like to choose the good path. He will put people in your path that will help guide you, but he won't control you. He won't force you to make any decisions. That belongs to you. It's the greatest gift that we have. And it's truly the only thing that is truly ours. Our agency is the only thing that's truly ours. Really think about that. Even your own body isn't truly yours, because eventually you're going to die and then it will go back to the earth. But your agency will always be with you. It's part of you. It's who you are, your ability to choose, your likes, your dislikes, what you tolerate, what you don't tolerate, what you choose, what you desire, your desires. That is an exercise of agency, is to connect with your desire. And how beautiful is that? That's one of the greatest gifts, and probably the greatest gifts that we have, is your ability to choose your life, to make those choices. And God will never take that from us, because he knows how precious that gift is. But unfortunately, it comes at a price. And that price is dealing with the choices that other people make. And it's terrible, y'all. Of course it is. Listening to my co-parents, my clients who are co-parenting, and the agony and the grief that they feel because of what's happening on the other side of, you know, the aisle with their with their co-parent. They can't control it. They can't stop the other parent from emotionally abusing their child. They can't do anything. It's awful. But as a child who was co-parented herself, I was co-parented with two adults who had zero tools, bless their hearts. Well, that's not fair to say. I'm sure they had some tools, but they really struggled. There was a lot of conflict and a lot of emotional abuse. But I'm so grateful I wasn't spared, because God has allowed me to alchemize all of my hardship, all of the things that I've been through, to not only serve me in my adulthood, but then to multiply those effects to as many people as I possibly can. What a gift. What a privilege. It's so amazing that I get to experience that, and that other people get to be served. And then who knows how many people those people will serve. And so much good could come about from something so terrible. I truly believe that deep in my bones. And so if you're going through something terrible, I'm with you. I get it. I'm not going to gaslight you out of that experience. It's awful. However, instead of blaming God and wishing he would have spared you, what if you ask the question, okay, I surrender to my reality. Now what? How can I turn? How can I use my gift of agency that no one can take from me? No one can take that from you. How can I use my gift to turn this into something beautiful, something that serves me, something that is alchemized in a way that only God can alchemize it? What if you started asking that question about the terrible things in your life? That's my invitation to you. It's not fun. So if you're not ready to ask that question to yourself, that's okay too. I would never force this on anyone. It's an invitation, but I would never force you to do that to yourself if you're not ready. I wasn't ready for this lesson years ago. 10 years ago, not ready. Not ready for that question. So of course, when I'm working with clients and I know that they're not ready for that question, that it will only serve to put them deeper in pain, we don't even go there. It's so important to process through your emotions first. So if you're in that place, you're allowed to be there. No judgment, no shame. You never have to ask yourself that question if you don't want to. You don't. It doesn't make you a bad person. You're allowed to be wherever you're at on your journey. I can see that I don't need you to be on a timeline as my client. You don't need to be on any timeline. Your timeline is perfect. And so as we work together, I surrender to that timeline. And I don't push you. I don't force anything on you. I allow your genius to come forward, and that genius drives you at whatever pace it drives you, whatever pace that works for you. My job, our job together, is to process through the big emotions, to identify and reconnect with your desires, and get all of the narcissist stuff out of the way. And once we do that, things really start to clear up. You can start taking action. Maybe certain things and certain tools become more available to you, and we start using those. Maybe they don't yet. That's not a problem. All right. So we covered a lot today. This was a lot longer class than I expected it to be. But it's so important, everything we've talked about. And it's what has served me so tremendously and served my clients so tremendously. So this is my invitation to you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being part of this class and being part of this work with me. And if you want to come work with me, the 15K offer for one-on-one coaching is no longer on the table. Those spots are full. And with me restructuring my business, I'm not going to offer those that offer anymore. But for now, while I figure out exactly what I want to offer my clients, if you want to work with me and now is the time for you, let's co-create a solution together. Let's figure out what works best for both of us, because typically it's probably going to look like a lot of Voxer coaching, and it might look like maybe one or two calls here or there on demand or as requested. But really, we're going to be goal-oriented and goal-focused, and we're going to get all your narcissist drama out of the way so that you can create what it is that you're going to create. And it doesn't matter how we do that. If it's live video calls, if it's phone calls, if it's Voxer coaching, if it's text message, it doesn't matter how we do it. What matters is your brain and your willingness to look at your emotions, to feel your emotions, look at what you've been holding on to, look at what you haven't been allowing yourself to surrender to, and much, much more. So I've got a 3-year-old at home. She might be in the background in some of our calls or in some of my Voxer messages, and I love it and I'm embracing it. And I'm sure if you're a mom, even if you're not a mom, it's probably not as big of a problem as my brain totally believed that it was for an entire year. So fun. So reach out to me. My email is laura@bythewaycoaching.com. You can go on my Instagram and DM me. You can send me an email. I think I just said that. So you can send me an email. You can send me a DM. And let's co-create a solution that works for us. And let's work together to reach your goal. What is that goal? I had a client just hire me recently. He's ready to start making 50K months in his business. And it's like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to help him reach this goal. It's going to be amazing. I have another client who's working towards going from 2 million to 10 million. And I'm just so excited. And I have another client that just started working with me who is ready to find her ideal person. Ooh, it's going to be so good. We've already started the process. She's already got dates lined up. It's amazing. So those are kind of the main goals that we work on: making more money in your business or starting your business, finding your ideal person, becoming an ideal match for your ideal person, and getting your, or the other things that we work on with my clients are restructuring your relationship with your parents. What does that look like? If you've been raised by narcissists and you want to have a relationship with them, let's figure that out so that you're in a safe place so that you can function in life and have the people you want in your life and it not be a problem for you. We also work on that. If you are married to a narcissist and you want to leave, that's another goal and result I help my clients get. If you are co-parenting with a narcissist, I also help you navigate that world and go ahead and help you create your impossible goals, whatever those are. So I work with people who have impossible goals, who happen to be dealing with an impossible person. I just love that tagline. I came up with that, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, man, yes, I'm going to use that. That's so good. So if you got an impossible person in your life and you're working towards impossible goals, this is where you need to be. You are in the right place. So reach out to me. Let's co-create a coaching solution that's going to work for both of us. It's going to be so fun. So reach out to me, DM me on Instagram @LauraByTheWay, or email me laura@bythewaycoaching.com. And we'll go from there. We'll do a phone call or we'll do some Voxer coaching, whatever works for you, or Voxer consultation. Thanks so much for listening, and look for the upcoming episodes. We've got a few classes left, and then I've got some bonus episodes for you coming along as well. All right, we'll talk soon. Bye.